Okay. So let's turn to Sivdalet Bishalach or Bishol, and the distinction possibly between Yavesh and Lach. We'll start with Yavesh. That which we discussed in the earlier Shurim from Reishon and Gimel, we know that you're allowed to do Hachzara, which presumes that there's Ein Bishalach or Bishol, right? If Yesh Bishalach or Bishol, then you could do Hachzara, it would be Nisir Deraisa. You also see it from the Mishnah and Kofim Hema base, Kol Shabbat Lacham in Me'er Shabbos, Shonos Abacham Shabbos, which is the basis of the concept of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. That's a Lashon, I think. That's not in the Gemara, but that's inferred from those two halachos. Now, if you actually look at the formulation of the Rambam, take a look. I asked the Chevra to bring a Rambam if she had a chance. Look at Sif. Look. Well, let's do Chav Beis Ches. So he says, Davar Shen is Bashel Kodem HaShabbos. O nishra b'chamin melifnei Shabbos, afal pi shuach savtonein mutl shroso b'chamin b'shabbos. So, first of all, the Rambam is only matir l'shroso b'chamin b'shabbos. This relates to a different point of the Rambam, which we'll get to later, I hope, that it could be the Rambam holds all bishul achar bishul is actually asked from the Rabbanan. If you notice, he says pater, but we'll leave that. Apparently you don't. But, yes, you're correct that that is a machlokas. That indeed is a machlokas. But for now, let's focus on another part of this Rambam, where he says, if it was nisbasha lefnei Shabbos, fine. Oh, nishra b'chamin lefnei Shabbos and it's mutter. Now, what's indicated by that phrase, nishra? Does that imply that it wasn't nisbasha? What's he adding? So the Beis Yosef, it's in Sif Dalid, you know, section base, says, oh, you see from here, that even if it's only Kamachal Ben Drusai, in other words, Nispashel Kol Lifnei Shabbos, meaning Mefushel Kol Tzarko, or even Nishra Melifnei Shabbos, i.e. Machal Ben Drusai. Now the problem with that is, the Darkei Moshe's Gimel points out, is then there would be a steer in the Rambam, because the Rambam wrote in Pertes, Halacha Gimel, as the Beis Yosef himself pointed out, that the only time we say Bishol Achar Bishol is Potter is when it's Mevushel Kol Tzarko. So the Darkei Moshe himself leaves off with the Tzarchi, and he doesn't have a resolution. The Drisha says maybe when he says in Perek Tes you need Mevushel Kol Tzarko, he means Machal Ben Drusai, but that's also very difficult. Machal Ben Drusai is in Kol Tzarko. It could be that the answer is that if it was Nishra Lifnei Shabbos, even if it wasn't fully cooked, additional Shri on Shabbos isn't going to get any further. And that's why it's okay. In other words, you couldn't put this on a fire. Maybe if you assume that bringing something from Achol Ben Drusai to Mevushel Kol Tzarko is a Nishra Doraisa, then that would be a problem. But the point is that Sharonoso, you could do more of what the Beis Yosef means to say in the Rambam is that you could do more of what you already did. So, because that's not going to add anything new, anything more.
Why not? If I the way I cook is I leave something in hot water for a long period of time. If I put something in hot water, then it cools another pot of hot, probably for 10 hours, you probably would also cook, no?
I'm not sure, and you could disagree with the Diak of the Beis Yosef in the Rambam. I'm suggesting that perhaps
the way that's true, though.
Yeah, to some degree. In other words, you're not going to add very much. Now, we could even add to this what we're going to get to in just a couple minutes, is that the Rambam Shita is that there probably is, you could make a strong case in the Rambam that he holds like the simple reading of the Yerushalmi, the Ramban's reading of the Yerushalmi, that there's no Bishul Derais at all by Kli Rishon Shlag HaYesh, so that makes it even more one tzad kal. But even without that point, what's happening when you're talking about a shriya is it does something. Now, you leave it in for longer, I don't know, maybe it'll make it softer or mushier or something like that, but it won't affect any more bishul. So again, if you hold to this diuk, it's not a pashat diuk, I'm suggesting, what would the Beis Yosef say? Beis Yosef would say that the first, since Sharia doesn't really, it's not on the Aish and the like, so whatever you did happened. And again, it might warm it, it might soften it, but it's not going to bring it closer to Bishul Kol Tzarko.
Isn't that Bishul? Isn't it softening Bishul?
Well, so that's an interesting...
So,
well, as I said, happens to be, as I said, well, we've seen Rambam, the Rambam, you can make a very strong case, the Aruch HaShulchan and other Achronim make this case, that the Rambam anyway, if it's Shlog Abayesh, doesn't think you're Chayiv.
Right.
But the answer is that softening is definitely a part of Bishul, but it's not always part of Bishul. Let's say the softening would happen in warm water also. That's presumably not Bishul. In other words...
That's the same as Aruch HaShulchan. Is it just
Aruch HaShulchan? No. The Aruch HaShulchan, I'm saying, makes it easier to swallow what I'm saying. The answer is what it is, which is that the Beis Yosef thinks that, according to the Rambam, further Shriya B'mayim Chamin is not going to help.
The first Shriya was Bishul.
The first Shriya was Bishul, absolutely. if you don't hold the Aruch HaShulchan and you say that the first Shriya was Bishul,
right,
and the Beis Yosef, Stiyak and the Rambam, to defend it, is to say that the second Shriya isn't going to cause further development other than warming, and you know that didn't happen the first time.
That's because it's called Sarkai?
No, that's because he says the diuk in the Rambam is even if it's not mevushal called Sarko. That's the diuk in the Rambam.
Maybe ask another question. Like, if it sees, what does that mean?
It means that it's not going to get any further. In other words, it could only go so far with Shriya in terms of cooking.
We're assuming
that
fully happened.
Yeah, whatever happened. Happened.
Sure, I mean, there's fully Shriya, and for the Shriya is just
right.
Whatever else something is.
Exactly. In other words, even though it wasn't mevushal called Sarko. Exactly. In other words, whatever tikkun could take place al yedei the Shriya happened already. So it's not mevushal kol tzarko, right? Under normal circumstances, if you weren't in like a big rush, you wouldn't eat it. You would put it in a pot and cook it up or in the oven or something like that. But since what happened, again, suggestion.
That's assuming that Shriya could never get into kol tzarko then.
If Shriya did get it to Kol Tzarko, then it happened before. If the Shriya couldn't get it to Kol Tzarko,
yeah,
then it's not going
to
happen the second time.
Make it not able to get Kol Tzarko now?
Because it doesn't...
It's colder? What change does it see?
No, it just doesn't get any further.
It came out?
Yeah.
You put it back in again?
It's not going to... Whatever happened. It's not... Something could only get, you know, get so far in...
But then, Mevonoshan, that means you're saying that Shriya can never get to Kol Tzarko.
Some foods Shriya could get to Kol Tzarko. Some foods Shriya can't get it. This food that the deal of the Beis Yosef is that even if it didn't get it to Kol Tzarko, since the second time around it's not going to get it to Kol Tzarko either, it's not going to get any further. That's why it's mutter.
But that's assuming the first time it couldn't get to Kol Tzarko.
It couldn't, correct.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that means that the Rambam is only making that kind of a case. Even
yes, that's the diuk. That's a diuk. That's a way to uphold the diuk. You don't have to like the diuk. You could reject the diuk. You could say it's not a muchrach diuk. But if you like the diuk, so I think this is a way to read the Rambam with that diuk that makes sense. Now, but again, leave this diuk aside for the moment. The Rambam does tell you that back in his Iker discussion in the Perek Tes, that the only time we apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is when it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko. And this is also the view of Tosfos that we'll see in a moment. And this idea is a very big chiddush, that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul only with Mevushal Kol Tzarko, because it's indicating that yesh bishul achar bishul, if it's not mevushal kol tzarko. Why is that a chiddush? It's a chiddush because you already chayv for bishul on this object, right? And what Tosfos and Rambam seem to be saying is that you could be chayv for bishul twice, right? Okay, usually probably won't be chayv, you know, suchatos, it'll be one helam and one maisa, but fundamentally in the same food, you could be chayv for bishul, take it off, put it back, And then we chayv a bishul for bishul again. And that's a bit surprising. In fact, if you take a look at
that happens in the Devar Lach.
Yeah,
well, we're going to get to Devar Lach. We haven't gotten there. We get to Devar Lach. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't happen, as we'll see shortly. I'm just starting now with Yavesh. Yavesh, Rambam, and Tosfos say, Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, if it's only Malchum Medusai. And I'm saying, conceptually, that's an interesting Chiddush. It's a little surprising. You might have thought that once something is cooked, it's cooked. Can't cook twice. In fact, the Shita L'Ran, even in Tosfos does say this, and the Shita L'Ran claims Tosfos means it's only a Chumra Midrabanan. Because Midraisa, you can't have that. If something that's cooked is cooked. That is not the way the poskim understand that Tosfos. For example, the Bir Halacha in Siv Daled Basafilu writes that Tosfos Kipshuto means Midoraisa. So that's we're going to take for granted that according to Tosfos, actually it is an Isur Doraisa. So how did Tosfos know that? How did he know? How did he know that he could be chayv twice for the same thing? So Tosfos's Ikra proof is actually a very strong proof. It's from that Gemara, Daf Kuf Mem Hamud Beis, by the Tarnagolta de Rebbe Abba. The Gemara on that Mishnah says, you know, where it's a situation where we have an example, an illustration of this principle of Kol Shabbat L'Cham and Lefnei Shabbos Shon and Shabbat Shabbos. Ah, Tarnagolta de Rebbe Abba. And what is Tarnagolta de Rebbe Abba? You look at the Gemara over there, it's like this disgusting thing that, you know, you could have if you're sick. And, you know, makes you sick in other ways, but a little better in different ways. And it's now, let's assume, we haven't really introduced the Rashba yet, but we'll just parenthetically mention, the Rashba disagrees with this. The Rashba holds that once something is Machal Ben Rusai, you would not be Chai for Bishul if you bring it up to Mofushul called Zarko. So, and that's what the Mishnah means, Kol Shabbat B'cham and Lefnei Shabbos, meaning even if it's Machal Ben Rusai. So why in the world did the Gemara need to come onto this very strange scenario, Mitzias, you know, this is an example, Tarnagol to Rebbe Abba, just a normal case. Anything that's Machal Bedrusai, so you're going to want to, you know, you don't want to eat it in that half-raw state, so you're going to want to finish it up, and that's what it means, right? Because it's Taka. Now, there's actually interesting discussion whether that's Mutter or Pater for the Rashba, which might relate to how we'd answer this question. But that's the raya that Tosfos brings. The raya that Tosfos brings is that the only case we could come up with, not the only, but you know, the case that the Gemara chooses to come up with as a example of the Mishnah of Kol Shabbat B'cham L'Fnei Shabbos Shonos B'cham Shabbos is this example. So that is the evidence that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Now, we'll get back to the Rashba Shita on this shortly, but let's talk about the other point that you guys brought up, which is Bishul Achar Bishul B'Lach. And here, as you know, many of the Rishonim say that even if it was Mevushal Kol Sarko, if it's cooled down, you could be chayv again for Bishul. So where's that from? Why would you say that? So if you look at the Gri, points out actually to two sources, the Rashi really makes two arguments, but one of the main rayos for this principle, that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul B'Lach, is the Gemara that we've already mentioned, Adaf Lam, Medal, and Beralef, in a sugya of Hatmana. We know that Hatmana is Aser, and the Gemara says, why? Gzeir Hashem Ayartiach. So what does that mean? Rashi says, you're going to find that your food is a little cooler than you were hoping, and you're going to cook it up. You'll be chayv mishum bishul. So the reason for the hatmana restriction is gzeir Hashem yartiach is mishum bishul. Now you might have said, oh, maybe yartiach, that doesn't mean bishul, that means gzeir Hashem michata, right? That's the concern with, you're going to find it's cooled down, and you're going to do chitoy. But that's not really correct. It's hard to argue, because the Gemara says later on, remember, there's two types of hatmana. Mosif Havel and Enemos Havel. Later, and the next Gemara, like 20 lines later, 10 lines later, on the top of the next page, there it says, Gzer Shem Yichate. So, presumably, when it says Gzer Shem Yartiach, it doesn't mean Shem Yichate, so it means Bishul. That's where Rashi comes from. So now, one second. So here I have this Tavshil, and presumably it was Mevushal Kol Sarko, and yet, if you cook it up again, you're chayev. Misham bishul again, presumably we're dealing with nisa deraisa. So from here, the Rush says, we know, this is Gimel Yud Aleph and the Rush, that yesh bishul achar bishul bilach. And here we're talking about a lach, we're talking about some type of tavshil. Now, actually, it raises an interesting question, which is, we'll get back to it in a moment, but seemingly according to this, then there would be no iser of hatamana when you're dealing with something where for which there's no chash bishul, right? Like a salad, right? Your potato kugel. Because if the whole concern, according to Rashi, is because there's a chash bishul, and hence we see from here yesh bishul achar bishul. So in a case where we know we don't hold the bishul achar bishul, like davar yavesh, so therefore maybe taka there wouldn't be. And maybe that's true. Prima Gadam says, yeah, that would be true, probably according to Rashi. This is in Reish Nun Zayin, the Prima Gadam, where we talk about Hatmana. Anyhow, when we look at the Rambam, he doesn't make any chiluk between Lach and Yavesh, and therefore the Pashtus is, as the Mefarshim explained, the Rambam would not be mechalik between Lach and Yavesh, and in fact, this is the view of many Rishonim, maybe even most Rishonim, that the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies across the board, and there's no difference between Lach and Yavesh. Now, how would they explain that Gemara by Hatmana? In other words, isn't that a Gevaldik Raya for Rashi, like the Rush, like the Vilna Gaon says? So, the truth is that if you look at the Rambam and the Rif on that Gemara, they have a totally different Girsa. And according to their Girsa, it's not a Kash at all. They have the opposite Girsa as we have. They say that the reason why it's also to be matmin b'davar ha-mosif hevel on Erev Shabbos is gzeir Hashem ha-yartiach. And what does gzeir Hashem ha-yartiach means? Gzeir Hashem ha-yartiach means we're afraid that the food is going to, like, burn. It's going to get too hot because you are, you know, mosif hevel, and it's, you know, bubbling over and drying out or whatever it is. That's what gzeir Hashem ha-yartiach means. And then, therefore, what's the worry? The worry is you're going to take it off. You're going to take off the Atman, and you'll put on the Atman later, and then you're going to be matman on Shabbos Dover and Mosef Havel. Now, happens to be that if the way there, then the Gemara says that next step of the Gemara is, well, why is it mutter than a ben shmashos? So according to Rashi's Girsa, our Girsa means why is eno Mosef Havel mutter on ben shmashos? In other words, usually, Ben Shmos would treat like Shabbos. So just like on Shabbos, it's Aser. It's not like Arab Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no. You know, according to Rashi's Gemara, well, Stam K'teres Roscho saying you don't have to worry about this in Arab Shabbos. It's not going to have cooled down by then. But if you learn that stage of the Gemara, it's talking about Mosif Havel. So that means we're saying Mosif Havel's mutter on Ben Shmashos. So the Rambam and the Rif say, yeah, Taka, you're allowed to do Hatmana, but never Mosif Havel Ben Shmashos. Not before, not after, but on. So, you know, if you ever see a Maimonidean, you know, run out of shul after mincha, you know, Maimonideans probably don't take a Val Shabbos, you know, run home, it's probably because they're trying to do some hatmana with the Mosef Havel, and okay. So that's the view of the Rambam and the Rif. Now, the problem with that, so maybe there's two possibilities, right? We have two girsos. We could either say yesh bishul achar bishul b'lach, and then it's aser lahatmin b'davar mosif hevel b'bein hashmashos, or you'll say like the Rambam and the Rif, ein bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, and it's mutter. That's all fine. And then you could say, okay, but we paskin like that first option. We paskin like Rashi. A, certainly we paskin it's aser to do hatmana b'bein hashmashos b'davar mosif hevel, and also we paskin yesh bishul achar bishul b'lach. But if this is true, so then according to that Prima Gadim's diuk that we had before, it would be mutter to do hatmana b'davar she'eino mosif hevel b'shabes for something dry. And we also don't seem to paskin like that, right? If you look in Siman Reish Nun Zayin on hatmana, that's what we're doing next after Shin Yilches Be'ezus Hashem, assuming that we finish Shin Yilches in a reasonable time. So we don't, nobody says that. We don't paskin that way. And the truth is that the Rambam and the Rif Shita, as the Magen Mishnah points out, is like widely rejected by the Rishonim. It's a very difficult pshat. But at the same time, as we said before, probably most Rishonim hold Ein Bishalachar Bishal Belach. So they don't hold of the Rambam and Rif's reading of that Gemara, but they also don't hold of Rashi's conclusion that Yesh Bishalachar Bishal Belach. So where does that leave us? So if you look at the Gra in our Sif, it's a Shin Yud Ches Sif Katan Mem Aleph. So he, you know, first of all, he says there's, you know, he does bring further evidence in Ein Bishalach Bishal Belach. He brings a Tosefta among other things. But how does he square that circle, right? How does he hold that? So if you take a look, he says that, well, you're going to have to say, like, if you're go race, you could be go race like the Rif and the Rambam, but not their conclusion. The Ravid is only in the Frankel Ravids. Not in the old ones, but the Ravid disagrees with, he says, even if you're going to be Garis like the Rambam and the Rif, still you could argue that Hatmana b'mosif hevels aser b'enish mashus. It's somewhat of a dochak reading in the Gemara, actually, as the Magid Mishnah points out, but that's what the Gra comes up with. He says, that's the best we could do. Which is, you're going to have their girsa, not our girsa, but somehow or another, you'll get out of their conclusion about Banish Mashos. If you look at the Magen Avram in Simen Reish Nun Zayin Sif Aleph, he says, no, you could, the Rosh himself sort of gets out of it. The Rosh says that you could be go race like Rashi, but still you don't have a raya from the Gemara that Yesh B'Shalach HaBishal B'davar Lach, and more or less, Gzei Rosh HaMiyartiyach relates to Gzei Rosh HaMiyachata B'Gechalim. Now, why did the Gra in Sin Yud Ches quote that? Because it's very dochak, like we said before, because the Gemara knew how to say Shema Yichata, and it said Shema Yartiach. So, you know, it's actually very interesting. It's a hard Gemara to deal with if you don't hold of Yesh Bishal Acher Bishal Belach. The two classical ways to get out of it are both difficult. Anyway, but let's go back now to the more conceptual point, which is what's going on over here if you hold Yesh Bishalach or Bishal Belach. You know, why would you say that? Why wouldn't you say that? What's the debate? So, one possibility, Willick suggests this at one point, it's, if you want to look, it's on page Pei in the Hebrew section of the Sefer. So he says that Bishalach or Bishal Belach is basically because you think that the Mechayev for Lach is Chimam. It's not Bishal. In other words, there's no such thing as real Bishalach or Bishal Belach. It's been this Bashal, right? Rather, the Mechayev is Chimam. The Rambam implies, when it comes to water, the reason why you're high for water is because of Chimam. We already made that diak in the Lashon of the Rambam earlier, and maybe that's the Pshat. In other words, if you wish, Bishalach or Bishal Belach is a misnomer. Yesh, really, you should say Yesh Chimam Achar Bishal. Now, what? Chimam Achar Chimam. Well, you might actually, we're going to get there actually. That's an interesting point. But for now, that's good enough, yes. And the Mechilim say no, that even for Davar Lach, you need Bishal to be Chayev. Again, you have to figure out in general, and we'll get back to this a little later, why, according to that perspective, you'd be chayev for Bishal by Mayim in the first place. Because l'chora for Mayim, there's never anything other than Chimam in the first place. But we'll get back to that. Okay. Now, there's a very interesting question, which is, so, if that's really, well, let's actually consider that perspective a little bit more. So, I understand by water that we would say this, right? Because by water, it's very easy to understand. You heat it up, great, hot water, boiling water. Now cool down, azalei bishulei, so that there would be yesh bishalach or bishul is pashat, right? Because basically, you're back to scratch, or sort of like Yoshua just said, it's chimam achar chimam. The first time around, all it was chimam in the first place. So that makes a lot of sense. that you would be chayev. But what about for, and Lamashal, I think the Gleitel points out, everybody agrees that there's bishel achar bishel by metal, right? Why? Well, anytime you're chayev for metal, alt bishel, there's probably bishel the first time. And that's because, it returns to its state, original state. So that, you could argue that there'd be bishel achar bishel, chimam achar chimam for water, so that's very intuitive. The Prima Gadim, though, points out, this is in Simon Reish Nun Dalid, and he says, maybe that wouldn't be true for other types of liquids, like, gravy, right? In other words, it's not like it goes back to scratch, right? It goes back to, when it cools down, it goes back to the way it was. It doesn't. It just is cold. It just is cold. It's cold gravy, not hot gravy. It's not like water. Water, you could certainly argue that whatever it was, it goes back to its previous state, right? Unless you're going to say that the original machayev is because you're killing the bacteria. So, assuming you don't say that, so then water goes back to the original state. But the Prima Gadim says, well, that's true. So then other types of liquids, like gravy, where it's not true, it's just like a salad. It's just like chicken, right? When chicken gets cold, it doesn't get raw. So too, when gravy gets cold, it doesn't get raw. And therefore, maybe we should only say yesh bishalach or bishal bilach when we're dealing with something like water or milk or the like, oil, things that basically go back to the way that they were. But the Prima Gadim says, the stimas haposkim is not that way. And he's right. Nobody said that. That's what he says. Mistimas haposkim mashma kol shoots all of the lach yesh bo bishalach or bishal bin etzdanin. It's, by the way, tzifkat nalef over there. In the Yeshua Avram. So if so, then why is this true? Why would it be that there is Bishol Achar Bishol? So the answer has to be that when it comes to solid things that are cold, it's not really Azalei Bishulei. Might not be as good cold, but it's still good enough cold, right? You would eat cold chicken, might like warm chicken better, but you need cold chicken. Whereas when it comes to chicken soup, so, this is the way I learned until I met my wife, who likes cold chicken soup. So we won't tell her. It's a big shayla. This vests up the shtickle taira. This is the way the Velt says it. And we'll talk about the implications of this shortly. The Velt says it is that basically, the logic would have to be that when something is a solid, it's still pretty decent, so there's not a significant tikkun when you warm it up. Whereas when you talk about something liquid, so it's pashut by water, this would be true, but even chicken soup, even gravy, even things of that nature, so there isn't a very significant, there is quite a significant tikkun when you warm it up. And that tikkun is sufficient for us to say you're chayv. And this is especially easy to say if you hold, not like the Rashba, but like the Rambam Tosfos, that going from machal ben drusai to mevushal kol tzarko is chayv mishum bishul. In other words, once you're going to say that going from, barely edible to tasty is chayv, so anytime you reheat chicken soup, that's basically what you're doing. You're going from barely edible to tasty. Mashain Cain, when you reheat solid chicken, you're going from tasty to tastier. You're not going from barely edible to tasty. And that's, I would say, that's the easiest mahalich to explain this. Now, a very important question that we'll address in just a couple minutes about this is, well, then maybe we shouldn't really look at liquids and solids per se. We should look at edible versus non-edible, or, barely edible versus, decent. And that, in fact, is the view of some contemporary poskim, among them Rabbi Willig. more or less. We'll get to it in a second. Lemushel, just again, I want to see some more things before we get there to fully appreciate this. But lemushel, ketchup. So Rav Moshe says in one of the tshuvos to Rabbi Eider, he was asked, "Could you put ketchup on a chmesir steak?" So he says, you know, Rabbi Eider says maybe you should be matir because it's a sfeik sfeika. It's maybe we paskin ein bishalach or bishal balach, and even if we do, maybe it's a klisheni. We don't hold like the marshal. So Moshe says, well, we don't just say sfeik sfeikas like that, just because there's two. But here he is willing to be makel because he thinks that actually we. That which we're machmir for bishalach and bishal balach, according to Rama, who's makel, again, as we get to, we'll get there, even if it's below yad, so let us bow, it's just not nistan milgamri. So that shows we really is a chumra. Really, mikra, then we hold a bishalach and bishal balach. And therefore, and we probably don't hold that marshal that much either, so we could be makel. Because both of them are really chumras. They're chumras that we wouldn't necessarily rely on their own, but they're both really chumras. So therefore, he's willing to be mekel. But Willock says no. Even the Orach Shabbos says, you know, that yeah, you don't have to go so far. You know, even if in other areas of halacha you'll treat ketchup as a liquid because it pours, but who here thinks that room temperature ketchup is decent? Is it barely edible or decent, right? So it's decent, right? It's like a solid in that respect. It's not like a liquid. It's not like chicken soup that's gross when it's cold. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. Now, the Orach Shabbos himself only says that when it's like halfway between a solid and a liquid. If it's like a clear liquid, he doesn't go that far. But he says, why not? So anyway, we're going to get back to that. But as I said, I want to do some other hakdamos before we get there. But that's the basic... Chilok.
Why is that any better than the Havamina of the Prima Gadim?
It's, the Prima Gadim is very different. Because the Prima Gadim would apply to chicken soup. Because the Prima Gadim's argument is that the only time you're chai for Bishalach HaBishal B'lach is when it reverts to its original state. Gravy, chicken soup, they don't revert to their original state, so we'd say in bishalach bishal.
So
we're saying over here vada yesh bishalach bishal.
But meaning the only problem we had with that is against simas
haposkim. It's against simas haposkim. To be honest, it's against simas haGemara and Rishonim also, because if the whole source to say that Gemara by let's say in at the end of Amadlikim by Gzeira Shem Yartiach, that's also about a tavshil. It's not talking about water, right? So.
So what did this other modern Mahalach of Rabbi Willick, etc., and the other post-game gain?
Very simple. The answer is that you have done something significant.
But it's still against the Stimus HaPoskim.
It's not against the Stimus HaPoskim.
Why?
Adirabah. The Stimus HaPoskim is that 9 out of 10... I'll say it this way. It's much less against the Stimus HaPoskim than the Prima Gadim. 9 out of 10 times... A liquid. This is going to be true for a liquid.
I understand. I mean,
and if for the 10th out of 10th time they said low plug, no. In other words, as opposed, the Prima Gadim said it 1 out of 10 times is bishlach bishal balach. This mahalach of the Achronim is 9 out of 10 times. There's a big difference.
Right, but then halacha lemaisa, you shouldn't be able to be makil about ketchup because it's edible cold. Because
maybe you could go ahead and accept this principle. One second, you could accept this principle. And say low plug. In other words, you don't have to, and maybe, you know, that's what Ramosha held. Ramosha held that we're going to treat ketchup as a liquid here. He agreed, maybe he agreed to the lamdas of Asalei Bishulei, but he said low plug. In other words, say the poskim, sometimes deraisa, sometimes derabanan. As I said, Ramosha himself thinks it's always the Rabbanan. But the point is that they categorically stated anything that's halachically a liquid is asur. Why? Because typically for liquids, when you reheat them, there's a significant tikkun. As opposed to solids, where typically there's not a significant tikkun. So you could claim And it would be a fair point. Everybody will. It is also against the steam of Saposkim. Yeah. That's why I think the Orchel Shabbos only goes halfway. You could say that's inconsistent. But I don't think it's nearly as against the steam of Saposkim as the Prima Gatim is. Okay. Right? In other words, the Gemara, my Atman is talking about a tafshil, right? What's a tafshil? I don't know. You know, chicken with gravy and potatoes and other things, right? Or who knows what, some type of tafshil. It's not talking about water. Okay, fine. Now, there's another view, which we're going to talk about later. Rabbi Yerucham, who is mechalek between Mitztamik Viralo and Mitztamik Viafalo, he seems to say that if it's liquid but mitzdamek viralo, it's okay. Intuitively, that can make a lot of sense in light of what we were saying, because it's not very significant improvement. But we'll get back to that point later. And there's also this other point from Rabbi Yerucham that the Beis Yosef quotes, that it's not actually in Rabbi Yerucham, but the Beis Yosef says it from Rabbi Yerucham. Either the Beis Yosef had a different girsa, or he was just applying Rabbi Yerucham in a way that he thought made sense. Ravadi is mesupik about that point. Did he have a different girsa, or just this is his avana in Rabbi Yerucham? But either way, that you follow Rov, we'll get back to that later. But I want to talk about the Ramah's conclusion, and the Ramah, you know, at least half accepts that Rabbi Yerucham, actually. But again, Rabbi Yerucham we'll get back to later. The Ramah says this very interesting pshara, a very strange idea, which he says is the minhag. The minhag is, you know, or do we hold of, you know, the mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch brings down both views, right? Yesh bishalach bishabalach, or ein bishalach bishabalach. And if you hold yesh bishalach bishabalach, that means if it gets less than Yad Soled Espo, and you bring it back up to Yad Soled Espo, that's Isser, right? If you hold ein bishalach bishal, then it's totally mutter. And then Rabbeinu, the Ramah says, well, no again, that if it's alone, it's stane in lagamre, this is later on in the sif, then we're meiko. We're meiko. As long as it didn't get totally cold. So, I guess you have to ask the first question, you know, it's a technical question, which is how cool can it get and still be mutter to reheat according to the Ramah? How cool are we talking about? So, from the Lashon, you might have actually said, as long as it's still warm. In other words, as long as it's not in Azalei Bishulei entirely, it's still, there's still some warmth. It's you know, above room temperature, doesn't have to be very hot, because that's, after all, that's his Lashon. V'yesh mekilin lomar, v'nagul hakel imlo nitzdanein lagamre. We also saw that in Rishon and Gimel. Lo nitzdanein lagamre. So, I don't know. It's not nitzdanein lagamre. As long as it's still a little bit warm, it's not nitzdanein lagamre. They say that's what the Rav held. What?
Nitzdanein lagamre means room temperature.
I would assume that's what it means, yeah. I don't think it doesn't mean 33 degrees. but basically, you know, I think the idea it would be, as long as there's something left from that original bishul, then it's going to be mutter. However, Rei Willig strongly opposes this, because if you look at the makoros of the Ramah, among other things in the Or Zeruah and other Rishonim, which have this concept where the Ramah is getting it from, they use a lashon of something like karov liad to ledispo. In other words, we're not talking about we're talking about, again, I can't give you a temperature. I'll give you a hagdar in a minute. But we're not, you know, this isn't a huge kula, it's a small kula.
Yeah, how is that different than the Beis Yosef?
Because the Beis Yosef says explicitly, anything Yatzalad, less than Yatzalad is Bozasar.
So Karov Yatzalad is
what? Well, I'll tell you what it is in a moment, but there's a difference. Karov is not it. Right now,
and
now
plus miad so lettuce bow is not
no
not it, karov.
Well, no. I'm going to tell you what the gadir is in a moment. I'm not going to give you a temperature because I don't think you can really deal with temperatures. But I'll make up a temperature now. You know, if yad tov lettuce bows 110 degrees, so then 100 degrees would be okay for the Ramah. Certainly 109 degrees is also for the Beis Yosef. So there's a 10 degree difference between the Ramah and the Beis Yosef. That could be very significant. Very significant. And the Geder, if you look again back at some of these Rishonim, who have this idea, it's from Sedeshan and the like, and this is that it's equivalent, the comparison is made to Machal ben Drusai. The way the poskim accept is the Hagdara of the Alter Rebbe, who says that the pshat is that, and this is quoted by Rav Moshe as well, is that if you would eat this as something hot, then it's okay. And let me give you an example, right? There's, like we said, chicken soup is not very good cold, according to everybody who isn't a member of my family. So,
there are other members who said they're
Yeah, rubbed off on the kids, what can I say? It's not the pshat that, it's the pshat that they like chicken soup so much that, like, even though it's like Machal ben Drusai, they're so valet.
I feel like there's like a big debate in the weird blanket.
Like, listen, you know,
so it's not even Michael Breen to warm it up anymore.
So anyhow.
It might be an issue of before.
So the pshat is like this. The pshat is that, again, going back to normal families, there's You'd want your chicken soup to be hot, right? Whatever hot is exactly, 115 degrees, right? If it's 105 degrees, 102 degrees, something like that, a certain amount, degrees isn't what matters, you'd still serve it. You'd like it better if it was hot, but it's good enough. At a certain point in time, it's cooled down enough that you're not going to serve this chicken soup. You're simply, you know, okay, we'll skip the soup course onto the fish, right? Because it's... It could still be warm, right? It could still be well above room temperature, but you're not going to serve this as a hot food anymore, and that's the point. So again, temperature wise, I don't know, but practically, yeah, there's a very big difference between that and the mechaber. The mechaber will say if it's below yad so lettuce bo it's aser, right? We talked about this back in Reishin and Gimel. So you take something off the fire, and it was only slightly above yad tov lettuce bo. If you wait a minute or two, you might not be able to put it back onto the blech, because now it's gone from above yad tov lettuce bo to below yad tov lettuce bo. And the Ramah, you still have a while. Can't cool down entirely. Can't even. So that's the way Rabbi Willen.
Comfortable eating it? Like
again, the way I think one way to be magdir. It's hard to always. No, exactly. But would you serve this as something as a hot? So would you serve the chicken soup? At a certain point in time, the chicken soup is going to cool off. You wouldn't serve it, right? If you'd still serve the chicken soup as a hot dish, then that's good. You know, at most weddings, when you get the soup, it's not yad tov lettuce bo anymore. Truth is, in most homes, unless you, if people who keep their chicken soup warm on like an old fashioned blecht, and it'll be yad tov lettuce bo when you serve it Friday night. If you don't, usually by the time it gets to the bowl, by the time it gets to your in front of you, it's not yad tov lettuce bo anymore. But it's still, you'd still call that hot chicken soup. It's nechal in its state of chamimus.
And does the Ramah argue on the Mechaber passes like the Ramah that there's an interbishul between Machal ben Drusai and his
bashful tzarach,
the Ramah doesn't comment on that. Machal. Rebbe's assuming that the Ramah passes like the Rashi, but no, am I wrong about that?
So first of all, this is a very well shot. It's an interesting question. If you hold like it, it's easier to say. But you don't have to. You could say no, that this temperature of chicken soup, 100 degrees, is well above what we would call Machal ben Drusai. So in that point, the idea would be, let's say it this way, I think an easier way to put it, this is like solids. In other words, the difference between chicken soup that's 100 degrees and 110 degrees is equivalent to the difference between cold chicken and hot chicken. So just like cold chicken to hot chicken is mutter, right? That type of tikkun is not so significant. So too, the difference between 100-degree chicken soup and 110-degree chicken soup is mutter. Whereas again, the difference again, between 90-degree chicken no,
but,
soup
but
and 110-degree...
But then if I, then it didn't matter if I cook it the first time. In other words, it shouldn't be...
Well, cold chicken, you can't make chicken soup that isn't cooked.
Okay, but let's say I have, so we'll make a hecha timsi. So then I'll have water. If I have water, then I can...
Yeah, so good.
Degrees,
so Rabbi Willig thinks that you're actually chai for both. That's what you have to say. At least that's what we paskin. Which is that there's bishul by mayim and there's chimum by mayim, or by lach or the like, and both of them are aser. So if you go from pachos miyatzel lettuce bo to yatzel lettuce bo, you're chayev. But if you reheat from pachos miyatzel lettuce bo to yatzel lettuce bo, you're potter.
Why? Why is that?
Because you're chayav.
You're not doing a tikkun in the food. What's the hadar?
The answer is you have to say the easiest thing to say is that the geder of bishul for mayim is chimum, but ein bishul achar bishul. We say both. So, but even though ein bishul achar bishul, there's still chimum achar. If it's gone down to azale bishule, so then.
Are we like Luli the Mistafina? I think we're just making up new terminology. So let's go. There's a rule called
the answer is
ein bishul achar bishul. So that means if the hadar bishul is a tikkun in the food. Like so far,
the answer is again. I hear the difficulty of this, and as we'll see in a moment, that is the reason why Moshe, the Chazon Ish, probably the Mishnah Berurah, all reject this. And they say exactly what you're saying. This doesn't make a bit of sense. And this is just a chumrah. This is a chumrah. Whereas once the Ramah made this idea up, then clearly what we hold is ein bishul achar bishul davar lach. And you could make up whatever reason for why we have this chumrah and where it came from and the like, but basically what they're saying is exactly your argument, that this doesn't make sense on a fundamental level. And if you're going to say this is mutter, it's really because you hold ein bishul achar bishul. And once you say it's a chumrah, so you can make up your own fishy hagdaros or the like. Fine. And that's a very strong case. Now, I guess we probably should have talked about this earlier, but Rabbi Willig thinks, and this is the view of the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham says it's deraisa. We saw that in Reish and Gimel already. That the Ramad is choshish for bishul achar bishul midoraisa for lach. Right. Well, it thinks this is true because if you look back at the sources, like the Tumas Hadeshin, where the Ramad is coming from, it sounds like he holds it's deraisa. The Tumas Hadeshin says that reheating the water is an av melacha dum yedotza. So av melacha really sounds like deraisa. Dumya dautza takes away a little bit.
He means it's not nicker as much. Maybe.
No, you could be dachas. There's no rishas rabbis man as that. Havelach dumya dautza dehainu de rabbanon. Hautza is also not halacha. It's just impossible to be chayev. But the pashup shot. This is where your will is coming from. The pashup shot is that if you look back at the makoros,
but the Truman's edition probably passes like.
It doesn't. The Ramah's putting them together.
If I was the Ramah, I wouldn't say Nisan and Lagamre when I'm quoting the Orzaru's Karov. Yeah, it's a lettuce, but I'm not. I don't know.
Your points are very strong. So again, let's sort of summarize what we have. We have the Mechaber Shita is very straightforward. The Ramah has this Madna Pshara. So what's the Pshat in the Madna Pshara? So a number of Achronim hold that there is no fundamental Pshat. And from the fact that he holds it this Pshara, that shows that really there's no bishalach or bishal b'davar lach. Really, we follow what's probably the majority opinion of Rishonim, and bishalach or bishal b'lach. That's really the way the Ramah paskins. And the Ramah has this chumrah, and the chumrah is limited for whatever reason he has this chumrah and whatever reason he limits. As I mentioned, that, for example, Zvi Rav Moshe, that's why I said Rabbi Moshe is willing to be makel on a ketchup. Because, yeah, of course, ketchup is a liquid, and it's nistan and legamrei, but the Ramah is a chumrah, so we could be makel. And if there's another tzad to be makel, we'll be willing to be makel, like the fact that Davar Gush is also. Right, and you find that, by the way, in the Mishnah Berurah in a number of places. For example, this is what many, many people rely on when they put milk into their coffee, because lemaisa, the milk is pasteurized, and even though it's cold, so bishlachabishal. Well, many people don't do a klishlishi. They put milk into a klisheni. And we'll see. Many people who disregard the concept of klishlishi entirely still do it and the like. And they're combining. They're being mitzaref. They're saying, okay, the whole thing of bishalach or bishal balach is probably just a chumrah. So where there are other tzadim, we're going to be willing to be makel. Again, Rabbi Willig really coming from the Mekoros that the Ramah seems to be coming from wants to argue that we're dealing with a Doraisa Shaila. And to justify this, he has to say that there's two, again, we're at least choshesh for two types of things. Now, you don't have to go as far as saying they're both vadai, but at least we're choshesh for a Doraisa for two types of things. Number one is Bishul B'mayim. And number two is where, even though it's nisbashel, since azulei bishulei, which azulei bishulei means, like we said, you will no longer drink this as a hot drink, right? So at that point, then to bring it back to a drink, or a liquid that you would drink as a hot drink, that's bishul as well. And there's two agdaros, right? And they're both concerns. So if it's never been cooked, going from 100 to 110 is a problem. And if it has been cooked, going from 90 to 110 is a problem, but not from 100 to 110. Okay.
Can this help in a boiler in an apartment building?
No, because the water is not your pipe. Water in your pipes has not been cooked.
It was cleaned.
No. It was cleaned, but not cooked. They don't boil.
Clean with heat?
No, it's filtered. Yes. I don't know of any municipal water that's boiled anymore. That would be quite a feat. Okay. So, it's cleaned. I mean, it's not just cleaned. It is somewhat cleaned, but it's they deal with the bacteria with chlorine. Okay. And other such things. Fine. Now, and again, even though, as I said, a number of Achronim, like the Rav Moshe, do think that we're only dealing with the Rabban and Shaila according to the Ramah, the Magen Avraham, Reish and Gimel, Sifkat Lamed Zayin. Also, they think the Igle Tau is a different type of Peshara than Rabbi Willig, but hold its D'oraisa. The Igle Tau is also very bothered by Dani's question. He comes up with, like, sort of a sfeik-sfeika. In other words, we're so meich on a tziruf of different views. Okay. Good. The Trumas Hadeshen, by the way, if you want to see it, is quoted also. It's Simon Samachov, and it's also cited actually in the Shar Tzion Sif Katan Kuf Hey. Willig basically thinks that the two questions, Deraisa versus Derabanan, and the temperature, in other words, you mean carvely out to lettuce bow, or, low nitsan lagami, are basically talis abizet, the way he would say it is. Fine. In terms of the Tziruf that I mentioned before. So the Mishnah Berurah in Chaf Gimel, as I said, is Mekel by Kli Sheni. And I mentioned the ketchup tshuva from Rav Moshe. Okay, take a look also if you want other poskim on the topic of ketchup, look at Dirshu note 37. Fine. Another application that Rav Moshe has to his chiddush, which if you only very willing is going to be very questionable, this is, I think, Osia Tessin, those chubos from Rav Moshe, is the drops at the end of your cup. In other words, let's say you had your cup of tea, and now you want another cup of tea. So you finished your first cup, and now you want to pour more water into your cup again to have a second cup. Okay, we're not worried about the making of the tea. We'll say you used the tea essence, made it. So you're gonna, and we already said, you know, with the Mishnah Berurah might be makel for bishalach or bishal balach b'klisheni. So your cup is a klisheni. And then you pour your tea essence into that. But the problem is that there's always a couple drops left at the bottom of your teacup. So do you have to worry about that?
Keep it in there.
So Rav Moshe says, no. This whole thing. Bishlach, 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 bishlach.
I mean, the Chavut is also received.
Maybe.
I'm trying every drop.
So if you hold it very willing, certainly that is not a pasha kula at all. You certainly can't be mako alts about that svara of Rav Moshe.
Even the klisheni cup. So you use a klisheni cup to pour the klisheni. If a klisheni cup is moist then, you use it again for another klisheni.
You have to wait for it dry. Oh, a klisheni? Well, that's
no, a klisheni. I mean, you have your urn, a klisheni cup, and then you have a cup to use for coffee.
Yeah, so for sure. That's a problem. It. That's going to be right. Unless you do it. If you hold it by willig, based off of the Rishonim cited by the Ramah that we're dealing with a Deraisa Shaila, then right. Seemingly it would be an issue. Now we're going to get to Bittel and Rabbi Nirucham and the like hopefully soon. I was planning on it today.
What exactly is the Svara of Moshe to be more. I mean, even if you make that it's only a Chumad Rabbanim, why the fact that it's a drop makes a different thing?
Look. Exactly. You could look at his lashon. I forgot even how he put it.
Where's the tshuva nidus moshe?
It's the Rabbi Eider tshuvos.
Rabbi Eider tshuvos.
And it's osya tes. Now. We said before that let's say it like this. What about the following? I have a great way to heat up chicken soup. I go ahead and I take it from the freezer and I put it on my plata.
It's a solid.
Solid. Now you'll say, but it turns into a liquid. But the Magen Avraham writes explicitly that if it's, now we're going to leave aside the issues of molad and nolad and the like. Well, maybe we'll get back to those because they actually do come up here in Shin Yudches. But leaving aside those issues, let's say you're mekel on that. Really, when it happens in Memela, so maybe we're mekel, mekel adin, sechumer. Anyway, you got out of those issues. So Magen Avraham says that we look at the state when you put it on the fire, not like gravy, right? Congealed gravy, the Magen Avraham has a status of solid, not liquid, because it's solid.
You wouldn't salt if you don't pour it, are you saying?
I'm sorry?
Congealed gravy, you still, if you don't pour congealed gravy?
You can't, no. Yeah. It's solid. It's like jello. It depends how congealed it is. There's probably like a state where it's halfway, but you know when
it
you take
out
it
of the fridge,
yeah. So maybe that should be mutter.
How does he get there?
So the Oruch HaShabbos says no, that's going to be aser. Why? Because because there are two things that are happening, as opposed to the congealed gravy. Since the congealed gravy is basically going to be edible when you start off. But the chicken soup, though it's a solid, is inedible. Right? You can't eat frozen chicken soup. Even if you eat cold chicken soup. Even my wife doesn't eat frozen chicken soup. So, mamela, that for sure is going to be awesome. Even though, in a certain technical sense, you could say it's a solid. Now, what we're saying over here, though, is that if you're going to be machmir for something that's a solid but inedible for bishalach or bishal, so then you should really say, like, the Aruch HaShulchan says for coffee or tea, right? Instant coffee, right? When we're talking, now we're not going to talk about brewed coffee anymore. We already ruled that out. Chmana Litzlan. But what about instant coffee? So the truth is, you should clarify this also. We're going to get to, hopefully soon, the Shaila of Bishel Achar Tzli. So coffee has a problem of Bishel Achar Tzli because coffee beans are roasted, but then they're cooked. And the old-fashioned instant coffee, like the Osam stuff, like this, you know, the stuff that they have in Fort Lee. So not freeze ground, but where it's that like little powder. So I think that those also might have that issue.
It's really one of those.
Yeah. But the typical American, and you know, for the last 30 years, you can get this in Israel also, free is what we call freezer ground. Which basically, the way it's made is freezer dried, I mean, which is they make coffee, they brew coffee, and then they put it in a machine that turns it into those little pellets, and then they get, then...
Brew coffee and they cool down first.
Yeah, well, they freeze dry it, whatever you call it. They turn it into those pellets. So it's cooked, it's not just roasted.
Meaning it gets turned into those pellets from being a hot liquid.
Yeah. Or cold liquid. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. The point is that it's been cooked.
Where was the cooking if it was cold?
No, it was brewed. It was cooked.
Oh, maybe it's a cool time.
I don't know how they do it. But they take brewed coffee. So here you have no problem of Bishel Achar Tzli because it's, you know, it's Bishel Achar Tzli. Fine. So we're not worried about the Reim anymore. But according to this Mahalich of Rabbi Willig and Orach of Shabbos, possibly, so you have a big problem. Because cooked coffee pellets, whatever you call it, instant coffee, is inedible. It's inedible. So even though it's solid, you're bringing it from a state of inedibility to edibility, right? Now, I think... Eisenstein told me that he sometimes, you know, sees Reb Nevensal when he's tired, like take a scoop of coffee and eat it. But I don't think that's even weirder than cold chicken soup.
I think
right?
He always sort of did something.
Benny like discovered their caffeine pill.
Yeah, what's the point? You don't have to torture yourself. So anyway, so I think we would all agree that the level of edibility of instant coffee in the jar is far lower than cold chicken soup.
Yeah, but you can make it edible by adding cold water.
So just before we get there, so that's why the Aruch HaShulchan says that basically it's aser. In other words, it's still aser on Shabbos, even though it's solid. The reason why Rabbi Willig, among others, doesn't think that's correct is exactly for the reason that Yeshua said, you know, you can make iced coffee and iced tea and the like. You don't need the hot water. And therefore, even though it's true, so if this could be niskan without heat, so then there's certainly no problem of bishel achar bishel when you happen to use heat, because the takana isn't coming about through the heat. Yeah.
Would Rav HaShulchan agree, though, that if you first added cold water and then added that cold water to hot water, that would be fine?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Fine. And that also is relevant, by the way, for if you're only very willing that we don't look at solid and liquids at all, we just look at that. So then, for sure, that would be another set to make, let's say, for the milk and the coffee, for the like. Okay, good. We should really go on. So I want to talk now about a very interesting question that comes up a lot, especially in young couples that are just learning how to make challah, which is that they go ahead and like the Sarmation and Gimel, you know, you wake up in the morning and the challah is burning. So what are you going to do? So you don't want to do the eitzah of the upside down pot. So instead, you have a much better eitzah. You just add some hot water. Add some hot water from the urn. Is that going to be okay? And we're not going to talk about the Yodesh aspects of this for now. We did when we talked about that. Is there going to be an issue of putting your fleishig crock pot, let's say, directly under the urn with steam going up? Does that make it fleishigs and needs a chibur and all those fun things? So we'll leave out. Let's assume that there aren't, or you could solve the Yoredei issues. Is that going to be mutter? And in terms of lomer, that's mutter. Then there's another question, which is, I don't want to, that's like a big pain to like, either because I'm worried about kashrus or it's because of pain to take my challah pot and put it under my urn. Instead, I want to take hot water, put it into a mug, and then pour it into my challah. Would that be mutter? Those are the two questions we need to ask. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah, which is cited in the Beis Yosef and Sif Dalet over in Reishon and Gimel, sorry, Sif Dalet, addresses this question. It's quoted by the Ran. I'll read you the way the Ran puts it. Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, is from the Geres HaTshuva. And that's like in the Geres HaTshuva, he has like a list of things that like lots of people do that are very bad. Long list of like bad things people do. So this is one of them. Apparently, they used to go ahead and they used to fix up their challah this way, and this is a bad thing. Now, there's a little issue because the Beis Yosef over there in Reish Nun Gimel Dalet doesn't quote the Rabbeinu Yonah in its entirety, as the footnote points out. And you would sort of probably get the wrong impression, I think. So I'm going to read you the way the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. So he says, Machshela gedola tachas yad ksas ha'am. They mamish, they do this. Vafilum shneim yad saladis b'am. So maybe you think it's okay because they're both hot. Ikam andam reyushalmi iroi ena kekli rishon. We'll talk about that soon. I'm starting to lose my credibility. Ukshma'arin hamayim la'alter shiyatsu menakli. Afal pishen roschin. Pasakoch v'sichasan milivashel. Kedin klisheni. She'enu mevashel. Umisbashlim betoch kli rishon. Umayim mevushalim impaska v'sichasan yeshba mishum bishol. Okay? The Ran himself disagrees with this because he thinks ein bishalach and bishal b'lach. But what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, if you hold yesh bishalach and bishal b'lach, so this is a problem. Why is it a problem? I am going straight from my urn to the challah pot. No. Because there's an opinion, Yerushalmi, that Iroi is not kikli rishon. So when it's in that state of ivory, when it's being poured, right, traveling through midair, so it's boiling, it's very, not boiling, I don't know, it's 180 degrees, right? But does it have the koach levashel? No, because it's an ivory, right? Once it's left the pot, it's an ivory. Pascha koach melevashel. And therefore it's bishel. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. And what's Rabbeinu Yonah is saying? Very fascinating thing.
Meaning bishul and liquid.
Halachic bishul. The concept of bishul ha-bishul b'lach is not just limited to, we thought until now, even if you're machmir, as long as you kept it above Yad Saladis Espo, it's fine, right? No, not true, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that if it had the ability to be mevashel, and it lost that ability to be mevashel, and then it regains that ability to be mevashel, that is aser. That's Bishlach HaBishabalach. Azai Zakt Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, do we paskin this way? So, the Mechaber does. The Mechaber in Sif Dalet and Reishon and Gimel paskins Rabbeinu Yonah. Like I said before, it's a little tricky because he doesn't cite that point in the Rabbeinu Yonah, but he does paskin that way. Now, if you look in terms of this practical question about using the cup, or even without the cup, but let's say the cup. So Rabbi Eider It's on page 321 in his Hilchos Shabbos Sefer. It's Ha'ara Tuf Resh Mem Vav. Says it's aser. It's aser to take water from the urine, put it into a cup. And the reason is, he says, because it's going from a klisheni to a kli rishon. In other words, even if you don't say it by yiroi, oh, but certainly klisheni is ainu bevashel. So when you go from klisheni to kli rishon, that certainly is aser. Now this is very strange, because maybe that could be true for the Mechaber, but certainly not true for the Ramah. Because as we said before, the Ramah, who says that it's mutter to bring it from less than Yatzel Edesbo, even if it's Ktsas Pachos Miyatzel Edesbo, but Ktsas Pachos Miyatzel Edesbo, Yatzel Edesbo. So obviously, he doesn't hold to this, right? Because Pachos Miyatzel Edesbo, Ktsas Pachos Miyatzel Edesbo certainly is not capable of being Mevashel, and you're allowed to bring it back up to Yatzel Edesbo. So obviously, as the Magen Avraham Reish and Gimel Sifkat Malan Beis points out, the Ramah would not hold to this, right? Maybe the Mechaber could hold to it, but not the Ramah. So if you say that the Svardim should hold to this Rabbeinu Yonah, fine, I could understand that. But L'chora for Ashkenazim, that doesn't make any sense. Now, Taka, Rav Avadya is machmir on the Shaila because of that. He thinks if you want to look at Zichav Adas, Chelek Dalet, Simen Chav Beis, he says, even though the Beis Yosef himself doesn't say this, doesn't quote the whole Rabbeinu Yonah, the whole Ran, but, you know, go back to the Makoros, and it's clear that this would be true, and therefore it's Aser. Fine. So that's what I would have thought. I would have thought for Ashkenazim it's Mutter, and Sfaradim it's Aser. But there's actually another sugya that might get you into trouble with Ashkenazim. Here we are going back a little bit to Reish Nun Gimel. But that is the sugya of Pina Mimechem L'Mechem. If you remember, when the Gemara asked all these questions about Hachzara, so one of them, which was not actually fully resolved by the Gemara, was the question of Pina Mimechem L'Mechem. So what does that mean? It means, that, according to many Rishonim at least, that you took the pot off the fire, or off the blech, you put it into a different pot, and then you want to put the second pot back onto the blech. Right? Is that mutter? Let's assume all the other conditions are met. You have a daitel hachzir, an ode v'yado, and roseach, everything else. So that's a shayla in the Gemara. So, how do we paskin on that shayla? So that's actually not so clear. Like a lot of these shaylas in Simon Reishon and Gimel, and you'll see it a lot in Reishon and Zion, you know, on the one hand, you might have wanted to be mekel on all these shaylas because it's the Rabbanan. On the other hand, we have that svara that, oh, you know, karov lava lide yisr Torah and Shabbos is chamor. So, not clear. But l'maisa, the Magen Avraham, at the very least, is machmir for pinam imecham l'mecham. He's machmir. He says, we paskin, that is aser. So therefore, seemingly, this would be aser, right? Certainly, when you put it into the teacup, right? Because you've put it into the teacup, right? So that's now like a different thing, and now you're putting, even though it's still Yatzel Edesbo, and even though Daitel Hasen like, but you're putting it basically back onto the fire, right? Because you go from urn, Kli Rishon, teacup, Kli Sheni, new Mechem, new pot, and now you're pouring it into the Chalon pot. That is going to be a problem. So that's actually why Rabbi Eider thinks this is also even for Ashkenazim. For Sfaradim, besides that issue, you have the problem of Rabbeinu Yonah, but even if you forget Rabbeinu Yonah, you have the problem of Pina Melechem Mechem. However, it's not so simple, because Lysa Mishnah Berurah thinks we could be Mekel for Pina Melechem Mechem. Mishnah Berurah doesn't pass like the Magen Avraham, and even conceivably, if you learn, this is, by the way, it's in the Shar Tzion, Sif Katan Mem Zayin. Even if theoretically you think we are Machmer Neshayel of Pina Mechem Amechem, according to Ran, Pina Mechem Amechem is only Aser when you put it back into the original pot. We're not going to get into that so good now. But it's talking about when you pour it out from the Mechem to a different Mechem and you put it back to the original Mechem, that's when you can't put it back. But not necessarily a new one. So conceivably, you could even say that you are machmir on a shayl of pinam emechem emechem and still be makel over here. Laisa, the Mishnah Berurah is makel on this shayla. And therefore, seemingly, according to Mishnah Berura, it should be mutter to go ahead and put it, again, to take the hot water, put it into a cup, and then put it back into the chalon pot. And you could even argue that it's not exactly like pinim mechel mechem also, because you're not putting the cup onto the blech, but rather you're putting it into a pot on the blech. And that's an interesting question. The pasuk pshat is that's the same as pinim mechel mechem. You could try to make a case it's not. So lemaisa, what do the poskim say? So as I said, Rabbi Eder is machmir. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchas is mekel. Rabbi Shechter, in a note in the back of Rabbi Willick Sefer by his Ha'aros, writes that the minig is to be machmir, but the Mishnah Berura is mekel. Whatever. Practically, you know, you get the impression that you should try to avoid this, certainly according to a Shechter, which would mean that, you know, again, even if you, we're not going to be choshev min yonah, so you could be mekel to put the chalon pot directly under the urn, but you shouldn't ideally use the put it into a kli in the meantime. But as I said, many other poskim are mekel on the shaila. I don't know if that's still the minug, what Rav Shechter says. I don't know what he meant exactly by the minug, but you know, I think a lot of people do assume this is mutter, and again, I think certainly yeshal milismach. As I say, Shmir Shabbos Kilchas, if you want to look at Perak Aleph Aramem Dalad, is mekel. Yes.
why can't you just do even a nesim lechatzila? Because in the urn it's boiled and it still has an, it's still yatzalad is boiled when it's in that washing cup. So you should just the chuleyama. You should be able to put it back into that chalon.
No, that's pinam mechel mechem. You're asking al tzu mina yona or al tzu the pinam the
pinam mechel. Meaning forgetting pinam mechel mechem.
What do you mean forgetting? Isn't this pinam mechel mechem? If I go ahead and I do pinam mechem, oh, you're saying because a chalon pot is not nesim lechatzila aser. You're talking about?
No, to put water. Why can't I put already heated, boiled water that's not yet, that's still yet, so let this go into the chalon pot, lechatzila, if everything was cooked in the chalon pot?
You guys, why can you? Why can't you? Why I told you two reasons why you can't.
Why can I not? Forgetting pinam mechel mechem just in this local studio, why can't I just take water that's still
yet? Pinam mechel mechem. There's no bishul shaila. That much. If you don't hold the Rabbeinu Yonah.
Okay,
if you hold the Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a bishul shaila.
Okay.
If you don't hold the Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no bishul shaila. There's a hachzara shaila. Good?
Okay.
Good. Okay. We are about a quarter of the way done through what today's agenda was supposed to be.
Quarter?
Yeah, maybe less. I guess. Yeah, we didn't even get to Bishul Achar Bishul Meichel Ben Drusai. All right, I guess we'll stop here. This is.